the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the name of our good and gracious God, who works his good will for our good. The passage of Scripture which we will attend to today is the reading just read from Philippians chapter 1, specifically the first three verses, verses 12 through 14. And I will reread verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served the advancement of the gospel. Several years ago, a buddy of mine and I went backcountry camping and hiking in the Rocky Mountains of Canada. And we had planned this trip for quite some time, and we had mapped out the path that we would take for a multi-day and multi-night backcountry hiking trip. When we embarked on this trail, everything was going well, just as we had planned. But about 4 miles up the trail, we came to a fork in the trail. That wasn't unexpected, because that was in the trail map. But our expectation was to take the left-hand path. However, there was a sign that had just been placed there that said that that trail was closed due to aggressive bear activity. Well, we were thankful that we were spared aggressive bear activity, but we were bummed out because our plans were to take that path. And now our only option would be to either go back the way we had come or take that right-hand trail. And we had made no plans for that. We had no idea what lay before us on that trail. But we decided to take this detour. And let me tell you, it was the most strenuous, difficult trail I have ever taken. It was almost a vertical ascent of several thousand feet in just a few miles. Rugged terrain. Oftentimes we were crossing over boulder fields. We were wondering, what is this we have gotten into? The same is true in life. Oftentimes in our journey of life, we find roadblocks, detour signs that cause us to go in paths and directions that we had not planned. I once saw a bumper sticker that read, "Life is what happens while you're making other plans." Or as someone otherwise has said, "Man proposes, but God disposes." And oftentimes God does dispose to us detours that distract us from our plans in order that his will might be accomplished. No doubt that was the situation with the Apostle Paul here in our text. Twice in these three short verses, he says that he is in chains. He is imprisoned. And I'm sure that he never planned that. No doubt Paul's plans and intentions were to continue his missionary journeys, to preach the gospel freely, to plant churches, to visit the churches he had planted to fortify them. I'm sure he had not penned into his day timer, "Spend 19 months in prison," or punched that into his Palm Pilot. And yet here he was, in prison, in chains, in the Praetorian Penitentiary, in the Leavenworth of the Levant. This was not planned. What kind of detour is this, God? And he could have become bitter about this detour. "Lord, you have called me to be your apostle to the Gentiles. You have called me to go out into the Mediterranean world and proclaim this gospel of Christ. And where do you place me? Here in prison, confined, constrained, How can I proclaim your word this way? You have messed up my plans. Isn't this what happens to us sometimes as well? Maybe it's already happened to you. You had plans for life and everything was going just as you had expected and intended. A comfortable career, one that you had planned for many years and studied for. You were making a good income. Your family was comfortable in a spacious home. You were near to extended kin. But then the Lord put a detour in your life. He planted a constraining desire to be a pastor, to serve his people in the office of the public ministry. And here you are. Now, I don't mean to make the association of the seminary with prison. But no doubt, in many ways you feel constrained economically, financially, just in terms of living space. Your family confined in a small seminary apartment. Your savings account being depleted, having to uproot the family in a matter of several years sequentially to make those moves. Well, maybe your detour still is in the future. Maybe things are going just as planned right now for you. And your plans for the future are that you'll be placed in a solid congregation, financially sound, in the prosperous suburbs, within driving distance of your parents or those of your spouse. And then call day comes, and you hear your name, and you hear the location to which you are assigned. Some remote location out in North Dakota or Montana, a struggling congregation, questionable whether it'll even survive financially, and you're placed 2,000 miles away from your extended family. And perhaps your attitude as well would be, God, how could you do this to me? I've sacrificed for you. I've given you my all here. And now you have made this detour in my plans, in my will. That's not fair, God. Well, thankfully, God isn't fair. And thank God for his detours. Because if anyone has taken a detour from someone's will, it's been us. We have detoured from the will of God. As the prophet says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We detoured from the righteous path that God had laid out for us and demanded and expected of us. And as a result, he had every right to send us along the pathway to the ultimate eternal prison of death and hell. But instead, God took a detour from his heavenly splendor. In just a few verses after our text, Paul describes that detour. He says, Jesus Christ, though he was in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be hoarded and grasped. But he made himself nothing. Taking on the form of a servant and being made in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ took a detour in his judgment of us. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He journeyed to earth and traveled the most strenuous and horrific path possible. It ultimately led him to that age-old prison of the dead, that eternal prison of hell. He trod the path that we should have traveled, and he trod it for us, that we would not have to trod that path. But he didn't stay in that prison. On the third day, he burst forth out of that age-old prison of the dead. and journeyed up through endless ranks of angels to be seated at the right hand of the Father, where he rules in glory and he rules in grace. And in his rule of grace, he sometimes directs us in detours that we have not planned or willed. And thank God for those good and gracious detours, because through them, he works his good and gracious will. Paul describes this. Paul understood this. In verse 12, he says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, his imprisonment, his chains, has really served the advancement of the gospel." And the Greek word here, translated as advancement, prokope, literally has associations with journeying and coming to an obstacle in the journey and a detour, but still advancing. In fact, one lexicon defines it this way: advancement in spite of obstructions and dangers which block the paths of the traveler. How has the gospel been advanced in spite of this detour? Paul says, "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Because he was in chains for Christ, he came into contact with people he perhaps would not have contacted otherwise, the palace guard. In the book of Ephesians, we're told that Paul was chained, and a very technical term is used there for chain. It was a small chain, one end shackled to the wrist of the prisoner, the other end shackled to the wrist of a guard, and the guards would rotate in their supervision of the prisoner. But the intent of this chain was so that the prisoner couldn't get away from the guard. But ah, how God's detours are so wonderful. In this case, what happened? The guard couldn't get away from the prisoner. The Romans couldn't get away from Paul. And so he proclaimed the gospel, witnessed to them, and no doubt many were converted and came to faith. Paul continues, verse 14, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." Because of his bold, confident confession of faith, other Christians, church leaders, pastors now are emboldened. They're inspired by his example and witness as they face the same kind of opposition and persecution. And the gospel of the Lord is advanced in spite of, because of, the detour. Martin Luther once took a detour in his life. He hadn't planned it. He was traveling from the Diet of Worms back to Wittenberg when his group was ambushed by what seemed to be a band of kidnappers. Luther was whisked away up to the Castle Wartburg, where he was confined and constrained. He called those months his captivity, his Patmos. What a detour. In fact, he even said that he would rather lie on red-hot coals than waste and rot away in the Wartburg. He wondered, shouldn't I be out there in Wittenberg leading the charge of the Reformation, and here I am constrained and confined, imprisoned here in the Wartburg? God had his plans for this detour. During those months, Luther sat at a desk and translated the New Testament from the original languages to the language of the German vernacular. Who knows if or when Luther would have done that unless he was confined at the Wartburg. Yes, God uses detours to advance his gospel. Which brings us back to that detour. between my buddy and I, going back and forth, which tracks, crossing over the boulder fields, made it to the top, the crest of the pass. Totally exhausted, bloodied. And yet, when we reached the top, I was aghast. My breath was taken back. Because there before me was the most beautiful scenery, the most awe-inspiring vista of mountain scenery that I had ever beheld before or since. And if it wasn't for that detour, I wouldn't have experienced that blessing. Thank God, and I do, for that detour, but even more so,